We feebly struggle, the saints in glory shine. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning. Welcome. It's so good to have you here so that we can all worship together and be community and enjoy one another's company. The story is told about a man, Clement Hofbauer, who was apprenticed to a baker as a lad of 18th century Eastern Europe. It is a good posting for a poor boy. But he aspired for something else. He aspired to be a priest. And at legal age, he took leave of the bakery. One day in Warsaw, Clement Hofbauer saw a homeless boy on the street. He brought him to the rectory of a nearby church, cleaned him up, fed him, and taught him a trade. When the number of boys grew too large that he kept rescuing, Hofbauer opened the Child Jesus Refuge for homeless boys. Going to a bakery on one occasion to buy bread for his wards, he came upon a master baker who had no assistant. So he spent the day kneading dough, baking it, using all of his old skills. He got bread for his boys that day and for many days to come. But to keep them fed and clothed, he often had to beg, and he did so without shame. On one occasion, he went begging at a local pub. When he asked for a donation, one of the patrons spat beer into Hofbauer's face. Wiping off the beer, he responded, "That was for me. Now what do you have for my boys?" The men in the bar were so astounded by the response that they gave Hofbauer more than 100 silver coins. By this point in his life, obviously, he had become a priest, and less than 100 years after his death, he became a saint in the Roman Catholic Church. He is Saint Clement Hofbauer. This is the first Sunday after All Saints' Day, which is always November 1st. That was last Wednesday. November 1st puts the hallow in Halloween, which is a corruption of All Hallows' Eve, or the night before we remembered those who are hallowed to us, holy, sacred, special. We think of people like Clement Hofbauer as being worthy of sainthood, but 20th century Protestant theologian Paul Tillich shines a different light on saintliness. He writes, "The saint is saint not because he or she is good, but because he or she has become transparent for something that is more than self alone." Yeah, transparent. Have you ever met somebody that you couldn't read? You couldn't fathom. There was like no, you send out these sonar bings and nothing comes back. Sometimes I describe those people as being opaque. You know, for whatever reasons of personality or temperament, they are inscrutable. That's the opposite of transparent. People who are transparent seem to have nothing to hide. They seem to be open and available, transparent for God's love to flow into them and then out through them. The saint is saint not because he or she is good, but because he or she has become transparent for something larger than self. So in spiritual terms, that means All Saints' Day is like a yoga class. We have to stretch. And I have to tell you, I have been stretching all of my life, being trained at a young age as a dancer, and it always hurts. It has never gotten to the place where it doesn't hurt. We have to stretch. We have to think big. We are called to believe that every human is capable of responding to God's love. That's a stretch. Every human, not just those predisposed to saintliness. So the question stretching us this All Saints Day is, to what ends are we willing to be transparent for God's love? To what end? To what purpose? The Right Reverend Stephen Charleston is retired bishop of the Episcopal Diocese of Alaska. He says, what you do is critical. I wish every young person could hear this. What you do is critical. You may not think so because you see yourself as being without much authority or influence. But the things you do count for more than you may imagine. Every person you reach will touch 1,000 more. The direction you share with a single person can turn the wheel of history over time. You are an important part of a great story. What you say and do matters. So speak up, take a risk, and dare to be remembered. That's the full quote from the bishop. Becoming transparent for God's love isn't something one does from the couch. You don't phone it in. What you say and do matters. So we must be about saying and doing. And how does the gospel direct us in that regard? We all know, tend the sick, naked, and hungry, comfort the afflicted, turn the other cheek, return good when evil has been done to you or spoken about you. Love God and your neighbor with as much abandon as you love yourself. Phyllis McGinley says, those are stirring slogans. She's the author of a book called Saint Watching. She says, most of us absentmindedly attend to those words. We admire them, like we admire many lofty phrases. We even try to follow them in moderation. We don't want to be religious fanatics. We agree that charity covers a multitude of sins, and besides, it's tax deductible. But she stresses that saints are not moderate. Sell all you have and give to the poor. That's something they don't do in moderation. Through the centuries of Christian history, the primary scripture passage for All Saints Day has been the Beatitudes. A beatitude is a blessing. So in a dramatic reversal, upside down, of how the world sees reality, Jesus describes the reality of God. Unsure of your direction in life? You're blessed anyway. Lost under the weight of grief and loss. Joy comes in the morning. Undervalued, unheard by those around you. God hears you. Groaning with hunger pains, longing for a moment of respite, the Comforter has come. Aching for peace and righteousness, only to be smitten with war and revilement. God is travailing right beside you. Damaged by those spreading lies to discredit you, so was Jesus. The saints, Jesus reminds us, aren't those who have it all figured out, whose prayer life is perfect, whose service to church and community are exemplary, because frankly, those people don't exist. Nobody has it all figured out. No one's prayer life is perfect. No one's service, no matter how selfless, is beyond the reach of complication, confusion, and contempt. We all know the saying, no good deed goes unpunished. On the contrary, Jesus tells us, and the book of Revelation reminds us, that the saints are those who have suffered greatly and who suffer still, even in our midst, and yet praise God all the more. See, it's that two-part thing, suffer and praise. If you separate them, you just get lost in suffering. Jesus teaches that those who have found God's blessing within their earthly poverty, sorrow, and suffering are saints. It is the presence of God that makes blessedness, beatitude, possible wherever one is. This reminds me of the nearly 90-year-old woman, nearly blind, who could no longer live in her beloved house. She was led by a nursing aide into her new home, an apartment in an assisted living facility. The apartment was no bigger than a hotel room. Upon entering, she exclaimed, "Why, it's beautiful, just beautiful." The young aide was perplexed. "I thought you couldn't see," she said. And the woman replied, "Oh, it doesn't matter. That's how I see it in my mind." It is the presence of God that makes blessedness possible wherever one is. Please don't dismiss sainthood as being out of reach. It's meant for all of us. Not just for those who have been canonized, like Clement Hofbauer or Angela of Foligno, a woman considered to be a great mystic of the Middle Ages. From a wealthy family, Angela knew both the value of money and its worthlessness. She wrote in the Book of Divine Consolation, "If we were able to purchase the kingdom of God with wealth, gold, silver, and precious stones, or other riches like luxury, knowledge, or power, the kingdom of God would be out of reach of many, inasmuch as we do not all possess these things. But God has granted that the kingdom may be gained with things all of us possess at all times, and even in great abundance. For there is no person who cannot be poor for love of Christ. There is no person who cannot work and do penance, at least in his heart. There is none who cannot endure contempt. Certainly no one passes through life without encountering some of these things, which when borne patiently and cheerfully for Christ's sake will make us worthy of the kingdom of God." That's from Saint Angela of Foligno.
Please stand and join me in reading the Apostles' Creed on page 96 in your prayer books. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again.